All right, it's Lombardi Line on a Thursday. We welcome you in. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VSiN studios here at the South Point. What's cracking, Mr. Lombardi? How you doing today?
I'm great, Patrick. How are you today? How are things out there? Everything good? Did you enjoy your Wednesday afternoon football?
I was thinking about that yesterday. Week 12 started on Thursday, Thanksgiving. It ended the following Wednesday. It was unbelievable to have that game on. I'll tell you what, there were differing opinions coming out of the game. One, the Steelers, who improved to 11-0, they were bitter after the game, not happy with their performance. And then you almost had a grateful Ravens organization, like, oh, thank you so much for letting this happen. But start with the Steelers here. That was sloppy. Drop passes all over the place, turnovers.
Yeah, I mean, they looked like a team that was waiting, right? They looked like a team that was kind of like not ready to kind of go off. And I think when we saw Stephon Truitt's tweet about just, you know, go easy, it's going to be an easy win, I think we got a peek inside that Steeler locker room. I wish I would have read that, you know, before. I think laying the 10 or 12 points, whatever it ended up close, 10 and a half, you know, would have been a smart idea. We thought the under was in play on Wednesday. I think that proved to be correct. You know, I thought Baltimore's game plan offensively was a disaster, Patrick. I just wonder, like, what made you watch RG3 and think he gave you any chance at all to win a game? Like, what have you watched? You know, yeah, he can run the ball. To me, I would have played McSorley and RG3 at the same time and ran the single wing.
100%, 10.5 number cover, backdoor cover for the Ravens, of course. You know, they had 20. It was about 5 minutes to play in the fourth. They had 20 net passing yards. The Ravens. I mean, it was just RG3 couldn't throw the football. He had no pocket presence.
I mean, I was deciding who had better quarterback depth, Denver without quarterbacks or Baltimore with these two guys. Like, I was not sure. Like, I'm going back and forth. Now, I know it's probably New England's fault that all this happened. I completely understand that. And the spotting of the ball at the end of the half, that's all New England's fault. And how Baltimore got robbed, that's all New England's fault. We all know that. I mean, what time do you think John Harbaugh called the league office to complain about all the bad officiating by Ron Tolbert? What time do you think that happened? 7:38?
All I know is you're getting a standing ovation from Steph behind the glass. She said, preach back there. One thing, let's bring this up.
No one cries better than the Ravens. I mean, the whole Deflategate was started by them. You know, how about when they cried about, you know, how we had, you know, a formation that they weren't prepared for, you know, they weren't ready for it, and it's not legal. You know, nobody cries better than them.
Did you just do baby talk? I like that. Hey,
that's what they are. I mean, I would get Dominic to do it for me. He would be more mature.
All right, let's. Bud Dupree's huge. Okay, so they already were without Devin Bush. Yeah. Dupree's going to be lost. You know, 8 sacks for him. It's unfortunate as well. He was on the tag, but he's going to be out. Looks like with an ACL. Thoughts moving forward defensively with the Steeler team.
Well, I mean, I think what we saw from the Steelers yesterday was there's a little bit of issues with their defense. I mean, you can run the football on them. I think there's no doubt about that, you know. But they're going to have to count on Alex Highsmith, the kid they drafted in the third round. He's going to have to come in and play well for them. And they're going to have to do different creative things to help T.J. Watt set the edge. I think people are going to challenge them, try to get them into a situation. I mean, T.J. Watt was just too hard for them to block in Baltimore. Like, how Baltimore could have thought they were going to block those two ends with their tackles, I have no idea. But this does change when they go play Kansas City. When they go play the elite teams where they're really going to need to power the tackles back, can Highsmith do that? You know, can they get something out of another player that could help them? I think when you look at this football team and you see their secondary play, if you can keep the ball from Minka Fitzpatrick, you can make some plays in their secondary. The problem is their pass rush, and now they're down two linebackers with Bush and Bud Dupree.
All right, so let's look at this Washington-Pittsburgh matchup next week. It's going to be short rest for Pittsburgh. We know this. Many books have it off the board right now. It's interesting. Circa has it with Pittsburgh lane 7.5, then Westgate's got it Pitt lane 8.5. But as we project ahead, it is a team in Washington that's 1-3 in a row. Not good competition, I get that. But 1-3 or 4, I mean, it just a preliminary cap here on Washington-Pittsburgh looking forward.
Well, I mean, it's going to challenge. I mean, here's the challenge. It's going to be can Pittsburgh handle, you know, this rush from Washington? Can they do a good job? Because Washington's secondary, you can make plays on their secondary. You can throw the football against them, but you got to be able to block and you got to be able to handle that. And I think when you look at them, when you look at Washington in yards per attempt defense, they're the fifth team in the National Football League. They're the best red zone defense in the National Football League, and they're second in defensive sacks per pass play. So they've done a really good job. Now, their problems are more about their offense. They're 27th overall in offense based on my rankings, based on combining a bunch of different things. Their quarterback rankings in the bottom third of the league, and their turnovers in the bottom third. Their defense has been really good. And I think when you add that to their offense, they've been able to get away with some things. Gibson running the football effectively, McLaurin making a few plays, but I think this is a problem for Washington. That pass rush is going to be a little bit, even though they don't have Dupree, I think the Pittsburgh pass rush will be a little challenging and moving a little fast for Alex Smith.
Yeah, you know, Tomlin called the performance yesterday JV. It's interesting. They've got the four studs at wide receiver. Connor missed the game, obviously. It's the oddest 11-0 team we've seen. It's an odd year, obviously. But it's just, Tomlin was upset. Roethlisberger was upset. But it's a weird year, you know, that got moved back to Wednesday. I don't know if you cut them a break there, the Steelers moving forward.
You know, I mean, that's just another time. And, you know, they knew who wasn't playing in the game, you know, but this game, they've got to get ready for it. And my line based on the numbers as it opened up, my line's 10.5.
Okay.
You know, and I think that the line at Circa is 7. Is
7.5.
Saying?
7.5.
You know, 7.5. So I got to change that in my computer thing. So that makes me about 6.74 higher than the line based on the, what's the over total do we have in there?
Yeah, I got 44.
Over under setting.
44, Michael.
44.
Washington Pitt, 44.
All right,
by the way, I got an offshore book, got it at 10, so closer to your number. Many are off the board with Washington and Pittsburgh, but Circa 7.5, Westgate 8.5, I got an offshore at 10. So we're all over the map with the number.
Yeah. I think that number will go above. I think it'll get closer to mine before it closes. If you like Pittsburgh, you might want to jump on this number now. You know, I'm 6.74 above that circuit number at 10. I think it'll eventually come to me. I'm surprised it doesn't. I have the over-under at 44.5. You have it at 44. We'll see how that plays out.
Okay, now we take a look at the Ravens. And the one thing they've got going for them, as you know, you've looked at the schedule, it couldn't be easier. Listen, they're going to get the Cowboys this week. They go to the Browns. They already got a game in hand against the Browns. They've got the Jags, the Giants, and the Bengals. They're sitting on 6 wins. The disparity between the AFC and NFC right now, listen, there's 5 teams battling for those last 2 playoff spots, the last 3 now, and the AFC. And the Baltimore Ravens are right in the mix. They're sitting on 6 wins. They should get to 10.
Yeah, I mean, but look, that Browns game is going to be hard for them. You know, that Brown game's not, I know they dominated the Browns, but the way they need Calais Campbell back, they
yes.
need Williams back. They need to get some of their defensive players back before we think it's going to be an easy schedule. Their team currently where they're set up, that's not an easy schedule. They get their players back, it ends up being. But, you know, Marcus Peters hasn't covered well for a while. Jimmy Smith went off the field. The strength of the team's in their secondary. They had 2 guys yesterday that didn't play to the level they needed them to play. So for me, I think that that's going to be the critical component. And then offensively, I'm really disappointed in where they are offensively, what they try to accomplish, whether it's RG3, McSorley, or even Lamar Jackson. I think people have a read on them, and they haven't been able to make any adjustments moving forward.
They ran it okay. I mean, it was the one play to Hollywood Brown where it was all on him. It wasn't necessarily even McSorley. I mean, he took it 70 yards to the house. They did nothing offensively. And that, listen, you can make all the excuses you want.
No.
You said, like, Baltimore, they're professionals at it, but they did nothing.
They did nothing. They went in the game thinking, oh, what are they going to do? Like, they went in the game with their hands up. Well, we don't have any players. You know, woe is me. Like, you got to come up with a game plan. Like, why wouldn't you just run the single wing? People on Twitter are saying, well, you know, they didn't have enough time to practice. Their offense is the single wing. That's their offense.
Yeah.
We didn't have enough time to practice. Put McSorley in the game, put RG3 in the game, and then move things around and let them kind of use to play somebody at quarterback. I mean, RG3's a running back. He's not a quarterback. I mean, he couldn't stare down the receiver anymore the first interception for a touchdown. I mean, seriously, why don't you just telegraph? I mean, my reaction watching that game yesterday afternoon was, like, did anybody watch RG3 in practice to think we had a chance to win the game? Seriously. You know, like, can he do anything in this game? So for me, I just thought, to me, they had to do something unique, and that wasn't what was in the cards.
I still love, I'd love to have been there in the meeting after his rookie year when he called the Shanahans into a room and said, here's what we're going to do moving forward. You're going to turn me into a pocket passer. And since then, RG3, that was his second start since 2016. Coming off a Heisman, coming off Offensive Rookie of the Year, and this.
Yeah, and then after the game yesterday, he was worried about, he would have never gotten a hamstring if it wasn't before playing on a Tuesday afternoon. I mean, seriously, like, really? Like, you wouldn't have got, I mean, like, seriously, that's why you, Tuesday, okay, no more Tuesday practice for you, RG3. We won't do it, you know, but look, he covered it with a backdoor. I mean, McSorley goes in there and makes a throw, and look, one thing about McSorley, he's not the most talented player, but he's a tough player.
Yes.
And he gives, and he'll make a couple throws, and he's got enough, you know, enough savvy as a quarterback to try. That was a tough, tough game for them because they were going to have to throw the ball, but they couldn't throw the ball in their style.
Okay, Michael, we now shift to week 13 in the NFL. There's a couple of games I want to ask you about coming up here on the Lombardi Line. One in Houston, Indianapolis. That's a big game. Could be a tough spot for the Colts. And then also the Rams are getting bet in the desert in Arizona. I want to get to that. It is a Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. So it was 8 o'clock your time, 5 o'clock my time last night when the news came down, a blockbuster in the NBA. Westbrook's going to Washington and John Wall's going to Houston. It, essentially a wash because a commensurate as far as the numbers and the contracts, they couldn't have been traded for anybody else. What was your initial reaction with the point guards here?
I wasn't sure, other than Scotty Brooks having coached Westbrook in Oklahoma City, like, what was the advantage for the Wizards? Like, what did they gain out of this? You know, they gave up a first-round pick to get Westbrook. I mean, I know Wall hasn't played in a couple years and he's been hurt, but I wasn't sure what the advantage was, what they were trying to do. There was no cap advantage. The money's relatively the same. I don't know if either team improved themselves with the move. You know, I don't think, when you take back on that salary, that Houston's going to then trade Harden. I mean, to me, my first reaction was, what does this mean for Harden? Is Harden really available, or is he, as they say, not available?
Well, you know what's interesting about that? They were mostly off the board because of the uncertainty around Westbrook and around Harden, that being the Rockets as far as futures. However, the books did make an adjustment. So the Westgate went before the trade, season win total for the Rockets, 37.5, and then they dropped it two games to 35.5 after Westbrook left and Wall came. Now, conversely, Michael, Westbrook to Washington jumped from 28.5 as far as the season win total, five games all the way up to 33.5. That's pretty substantial. So Westbrook gave him juice there in Washington.
It gave him steam, Patrick. He gave him a ton of steam here. I mean, look, you got to give him that, right? I mean, why not make a trade if you can get some steam, right?
I think this
is all really related to the fact that, you know, Westbrook's healthy. Right?
Yep.
No one knows what Wall's going to do. So I think this is more about not the level of player, but the concern of the injury as you go forward. To me, it'll be interesting to see Westbrook play in Washington with Bradley Beal, how that all works out. And once again, you know, Westbrook likes to dominate the ball. We'll see how he combines his game into Beal's game.
And a lot of it, if you take a look at Wall, he hasn't played in 2 years. The 2 years prior to that, he played an average of 40 games as well. So this is a dude that's been injured. It's interesting. Your buddy there, Daryl Morey, he got the hell out of Houston as quickly as he could. Remember, this is the second trade in two straight off seasons. This is the second time that Westbrook's been moved. So Harden ran through Paul, said, I don't want to play with him. I want Westbrook. They brought him Westbrook. Morey's like, I don't want Westbrook. Now Westbrook said, I want out of there. Morey's like, I'm going to Philadelphia. And now Harden's left on an island.
Yeah, and I mean, look at how much Oklahoma, think about how much Oklahoma got for Westbrook. Think about that.
I know.
And compared to what Houston got back for, I mean, you know, break that trade down. Break that trade down and tell me how that worked out.
So there you are sitting there. We haven't heard boo from you about your 76ers in a while. You're pretty happy with the progress. By the way, did you see your new head coach? Paul George was taking shots at him yesterday. Paul George sat down and said, hey, the problem was Doc wasn't using me correctly. Okay, PG.
Got it. Well, that makes sense now. I mean, thank God I'm relieved to hear that. I was worried about it, and thankfully I've heard that. You know, I mean, I guess it was Doc's fault you couldn't make a jump shot. You know, I guess it was Doc's fault you had no elevation in your game. Look, I mean, of course Doc's going to get blamed. I think the fact that the Sixers I think there's adults in the room now, and no longer is Embiid, you know, able to get away with what he can get away with, and it's always somebody else's fault. There's accountability once in the organization, which I think is going to be critical.
100%. Michael, with exciting college and pro football action every week, it's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering apps. You can go in-game, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today. Stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID. Make sure you bring that. Open up an account and start betting anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM state-of-the-art technology. Got the fan-friendly specials every day of the week. In addition, VSiN is reporting from Mandalay Bay every weekend and bringing the analysis of the best matches. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older. Physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Got a gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Here's one thing I do know, Michael, in just 20 seconds. We're going to have a week 18 of the NFL. There is just no way there's not going to
happen. I think
so. That week's going to be used.
It has to be. I mean, we're getting too many cases. I mean, you wouldn't know this. You don't leave the house, but there's a lot of problems outside the house.
Hey, what is this I hear that there's something going on outside the house? It's a virus?
Yeah, I
haven't heard.
You wouldn't know.
Let me look through the blinds. I'll see it. All right, we come back here on the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. The holiday offer now. It's 25% off. New subscribers, you save 25% on your annual VSiN membership, which is awesome. Plus, you're going to get $30 immediately to spend in the store. You can get a hat, you can get a shirt, you can get a picture of Vinny Maliulo. Get everything. Point spread weekly, 24/7 video streaming, 20% savings in the VSiN store, daily email. It's worth it just for the daily emails. I'm telling you, they've been winning big. Go to vsin.com/subscribe, save 25% and get a $30 store credit. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Hey, Michael, as we welcome you back. Did you, as you know, they have now decided Liberty, including their quarterback, everybody's got COVID there. So Liberty and Coastal is off. BYU 13, 18, Coastal is on, 2-9-0 teams. And we just had a number posted. BYU is going to be laying 10 in that matchup.
Yeah, I was going to think it was going to be double digit. I mean, I think BYU is really good. They're physical. I mean, look, this is another chance we get to see BYU's offense in full gear. We get to watch them. I'm excited that BYU, I don't think it's going to help them get into the Final Four or do any of that, but I think it will help them in terms of moving up, perhaps getting a day one New Year's Day bowl game.
Yeah, and the committee has been disrespectful of BYU's schedule, to be fair, is awful, but prior to all of this insanity, they actually had a pretty tough, so they kind of got hurt by the circumstances, you know what I mean?
Right. I mean, they should have done what Notre Dame did, is join a conference. I mean, what could they have done? Join the Pac-12? They're so messed up right now. What conference could they have joined, right? They can't join the Mountain West. I mean, that's not going very well right now either. So where could they have gone, you know?
Yeah.
Couldn't have gone to the Big Ten or something like that. Maybe join the Big 12 would have helped them tremendously. And if they've won the Big 12 and dominated against the Oklahomas and the Oklahoma States, maybe it would have helped them. I think the fact that they're an independent,
yep,
and they didn't join a conference really hurt them.
I think you're 100% right. Vinny, we'll ask Vinny about that game coming up. He's going to need Coastal. I can guarantee you that. There's a matchup I wanted to bring up with you here. It's going to be a good one over the weekend, and that is the Browns at the Titans. This number, let me just find it here, Michael, because I was just looking at it before we went to break. So this number, look at 3.5, has been bet up to 5.5. I got a book at 6. Here, it's 5.5. With the Titans laying it. Two teams on a little bit of a heater coming into this one.
Yeah, I mean, look, this number for me was, I opened this, my number was 2.43 in favor of Tennessee, so obviously this is a lot of points that's going the other way. Cleveland is not getting bet. I think Tennessee's got tons of steam coming in on them. So we'll see. Tennessee's defense, I mean, can they stop the run? I mean, one thing Cleveland can do is run the football. Now, I had been on Cleveland's side last week when they really should have won by 17 points against Jacksonville.
Yes.
Baker Mayfield, I don't know how anybody could watch the game and think, I mean, he completed passes and he had a nice QBR, but man, he really missed some opportunities to put the game away. And I think that Stefanski's done a really good job of working around what Baker Mayfield can and what he can't do. Mike Vrabel came out this week and said the same thing about what he's limited to. So, I mean, I think this is going to be a field goal type game. And anytime you get a field goal type game with a Gostkowski, I'm a little nervous. But that's what I believe this to be. Myles Garrett comes back. Olivier Vernon's rushing really well. If Cleveland can stop the run and force Tennessee to throw the ball with their tackles, you know, with their two tackles, I think these two edge rushers of Cleveland can cause some problems.
You know, it's interesting. You take a look at the total of 54. We know what these two teams want to do. Steph put in here an interesting note from Vrabel. He said the team has to be able to throw the ball to Derrick Henry more. Mike, what? He's got over 1,250 yards through 11 weeks. He's got 12 touchdowns. He's all of a sudden in the MVP conversation. He's doing fine.
No, I think he's right, though, Patrick. Here's why he's right about that, because when he's in the game, people are trying to run blitz him. People are trying to do things to stop the run, and it opens up a whole avenue. If they can just show a little bit of something in the passing game, more than just a screen, and they can open up where he can run a flat and he can get the ball. I'm not talking about having him catch the ball five times. I'm talking about having three catches for 30 yards. That's all I'm talking
right.
about. Then all of a sudden, it's not always predictable that he's in the game to get the football. And now this is going to open up a whole avenue for Arthur Smith and the offensive staff. So I agree with them on that. Yes, you want to give him the ball. I agree with you. But you got to find a way to utilize him in the passing game.
So quickly, you had it 2.5 with the Titans favored in your number?
2.43, and the number's 5.5.
All right, go Brownies, and this backs it up. The Titans are 2-5 ATS, their last seven as a favorite. It's sitting 5.5. There is a discrepancy. I'm going with Lombardi's number. Coming up next, oh boy, here comes trouble. Vinny Maliulo from behind the book here at the South Point is going to be joining us right here on the Lombardi Line. Got a couple of college games to get into tonight as well. As we continue here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM, it is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Racing fan, First Bet is a place for you. It's the easiest way to bet on your favorite sports. Secure payments, attentive customer service, reliable website, all brought to you by ExpressBet. Sign up using the promo code Vegas500 today. Immediately get $10 in free bets, plus receive up to $500 in bonus wager in your first 30 days. Visit first.com/bet for more information. That's st.com/bet. Use the promo code Vegas500. I'm Patrick Maher. He, of course, is Michael Lombardi. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. On a Thursday, December 3rd, we welcome in VSiN Vinny. Vinny Maliulo, a legend in his own mind here from behind the book at the South Point. And Michael, we were talking a little bit during the break. He saved it for us. I was wondering what the handle was yesterday for a 12:40 kick on the West Coast. Wrapping up week 12 of the NFL, Baltimore and Pittsburgh. Vinny, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Good to be with you, gentlemen.
Good to be with you.
My own mind? Oh, please.
Yes, sir.
No. Don't even look in the mirror when I'm shaving. So here's the, is it a prime, was it a prime time Sunday? Was it a Sunday night
handle?
Yeah, how
do you compare it?
No. Monday night, certainly not. Not even Thursday. Here's the thing, what's interesting about this game, right? It was on the board and off the board several times for over a week. Don't forget, we posted the numbers Monday, the previous Monday. So it was the Monday of
right.
Thanksgiving week. On again, off again. So, listen, it did well. It did okay, but not. I would equate it to a Sunday morning game, a 10 o'clock game, let's say between the Jags and the Jets, to be honest. But nonetheless, it was the handle was good. It was still the highest wagered game of the day, but that speaks to the NFL.
And Michael, he's sandbagging a little bit. You know he's in a good mood because that backdoor cover from the Ravens. I don't believe in these percentages, so I don't want to throw a number at you, but I'm guessing the preponderance, wouldn't you agree, Michael, the preponderance of the money was on the Steelers yesterday?
You know, I would, and I think the reason the handle was so low wasn't because it was a Wednesday afternoon matinee in Pittsburgh. You know, I think it was because none of us knew who was going to play in the game.
Yeah.
I think it was really a sense of ignorance. I had no idea who was going to play, who wasn't going to play, you know, how all this was going to work out. I was really uncomfortable going in recommending either side because, you know, we woke up and we found out that Truett wasn't going to play. You know, we found out that other players weren't going to play for Pittsburgh. So for me, I think a lot of it was the uncertainty. You know, I think if we would have known that, you know, here's the starting lineups before, we might have easily said, hey, take the 10 or not take the 10.
And what I think people reacted to along those lines, guys, is that it waited. They saw it and started watching the game more in game as well. And then at halftime, of course. So halftime was 5.5. So no question that, by the way, the game did get as high as 11. So we opened at 10 and went to 10.5, went to 11 for less than 5 minutes. We got some buyback there, and then we closed it at 10.5. So, listen, you know, full disclosure, there's you're right.
I mean, is it fair to say
books needed the Ravens yesterday for sure?
I'm guessing 19-14. So the under cashes. I don't know which way you had liability there.
It went up to as high as 42.5, and we closed at 41.5. There was more professional bettors on the under yesterday, so tip of the cap to them on the total.
I'm looking at that total, Michael. Like back in, and Vinny, you know this, back in 2000, that game right there, Ravens-Steelers, you would have had a total posted at 34.5, remember?
Field goal and, a much lower total for sure.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, but not these Steelers. They can't really run the ball, nor do they have an interest in running the football. I think they feel like, hey, we can throw it for 4 yards against anybody. Why not? I mean, the pass Ben makes to James Washington is, you know, they're talking about what a great catch Washington made, and it certainly was a great catch, but it had to be the most dangerous pass I've ever seen in the most critical of times. I mean, why he threw that ball, I have no idea. That looked like that was intercepted, and the way he lofted the ball looked like defenders could have gotten a little bit of a jump on the ball. So for me, you know, that was one of those where I just shook my head. This is not a typical Steeler team. They're going to finesse you a little bit. They're going to keep the ball with their offense because they can control it with the arm of him and his receivers.
Terrific play, no question about it. Very lucky play. It was triple coverage too. When you watch it, and to Michael's point, if there's an Achilles heel for the Steelers, it's their inability, even when James Conner's healthy, to run the football. And come playoff time, they're gonna need that dimension. Now the other part, which their strength is obviously their pass rush, which I think took a hit yesterday. Remember, Dupree is now done for the year.
Yeah, he had linebacker. 8 sacks on the year.
And that's on top of we've already, you know, a lot of folks have forgotten about the fact that they lost was it Bush earlier,
Devin Bush
earlier in the first month of the season. So starting to see a few cracks. I'm not going to knock the Steelers. They're undefeated, but I know this. They're going to be a dog if they're at home against the Chiefs in the playoffs. They're going to be a home dog.
I know this. Vinny Maliulo is the biggest Hollywood Brown fan. I took it 70 yards to the house. Hollywood Maliulo was cheering here at the South Point. Fill me and Michael in on the so Liberty's out. Coastal BYU. They've agreed upon a potential matchup, and you posted a number. Your number that you've got here was a little bit different than your look ahead.
Well, you know, I was on with Tim yesterday, Matt and Tim, and they were asking hypothetically if this game does in fact take place, what would I make it? And if it's at Coastal, I made it 9 yesterday. I think the folks over at Circa put it on the board at 10, but it must take place with. I'm not sure. I think it's got to take be officially.
There it is. 10.
Yeah, take place. So they use 10. Yeah, I mean, I could see it. 9, 10. It's right there. I hope to see the game. I would love to see the playoff expanded. I mean, we're not going to see that, though. The fact of the matter is the committee is not going to do that because I think it would be wildly successful, and I personally, I think in my own opinion, they don't want to hear it for next year. Why? Well, if it was so successful in 2020, why not expand the playoff from now on to 8 teams? Love to see teams like BYU and Cincinnati and Coastal. Why not get this thing expanded? But that's not going to happen.
And Michael, your guy Zach Wilson, you were talking about him last year. That he got banged up last year. Yeah. The BYU quarterback. He's a first rounder. I mean, this kid's playing out of his mind.
And I think the more exposure we get to him, the more people that are just watching this and get to see BYU. Is the game in Provo or is it back in Myrtle Beach? Where's this
Myrtle
game?
Myrtle Beach. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Which is helpful for Coastal Carolina. They don't have to deal with the altitude and playing out there in the cold weather. And this should be Zach Wilson should be able to really execute with really no problem weather-wise and show us exactly his skill set.
All right, there's a couple of college football games I want to get to. La Tech. I don't think La Tech's played in about a month. The North Texas and Air Force, Utah State. It's unbelievable, these schedules. You take a look, you're like, my goodness, this team hasn't played in 40 days. But we'll dive into the college football with Vinny, and there's a couple more games I want to ask Michael about. Week 13 in the NFL as we continue along here on the Lombardi Line. It's presented by BetMGM. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Celebrate the holiday season, Stephanie, at BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, with a free first bet up to $500. My goodness, simply sign up. Use the bonus code VSIN500 to take advantage of this offer. Bet with confidence at BetMGM. Download the app today. Use the bonus code VSIN500 to get back up to $500. Wow, that's awesome. $500 and free wagers. Happy holidays from BetMGM. New customers, Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, Tennessee, West Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. You got a gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. And Tennessee, call or text Redline 800-889-9789. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. We welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line. Yes, Michael, we're going to ask you about Detroit and Chicago, and I blame Vinny because we've got that game coming up, that number sitting 3 with Chicago laying it. Let's quickly get into these. This game with Louisiana Tech tonight, North Texas. Mm-hmm. Michael, the last time La Tech played was Halloween. I kid you not. Okay, so this is a big movement here. They opened 2.5. North Texas, who can't do any, can't stop the run. They are now laying, I believe, 1.5 in.
We're at Pick'em on this game. By the way, did you mean Halloween this year or was it 2019?
I don't know what year it is. I haven't left my house.
We use we opened La Tech 3, and it's been all North Texas so far. I think we'll see some La Tech money as we get closer. To kickoff. Now, it's a 3 o'clock Pacific kickoff here, so 6 o'clock in the East, and then, of course, the second game, Air Force and Utah State, with Air Force as a favorite here on the road from 10.5 up to 11.5.
Here's the issue, Michael, with Louisiana Tech. They haven't played since Halloween. And North Texas can't stop the run, but La Tech, they can't run the football. They're averaging less than 3 yards per carry.
One thing I've learned about college football this year is where that line's moving, I think, has no relevance whatsoever. I really don't. I think people are betting blindly because how can you really honestly tell? I mean, look, Air Force, you know, they've played 3 games. Utah State's played 5. Like, you know, I know Air Force is going to do what they do with Troy Calhoun and they're going to run the football, but how good is Air Force? I mean, Air Force averages 21 points a game and they're giving up 11.5. I mean, I know that Gary Anderson resigned at Utah State. They're going to go in a different direction, but I don't know how anybody really has a handle on college football unless we're talking about the Southeast Conference and the better teams in there.
Okay, well, let's set that number up. Air Force, Utah State, Vinny here. Utah State, they can't stop the run. That's not good against an academy like Air Force. Let's see. I had it 11. Where are you?
11.5, yeah. So it's gone up a full point here. Yeah. 10.5 on the opener Monday morning and now up to 11.5. with the Academy favored.
What happened to Gary Anderson? His first time around at Utah State, everybody, it was a cover machine there. We used to bet Utah State when I was living in Michigan his first time around. Now it's falling apart. As you said, they're 1-4.
You know, it went to Wisconsin, was the wrong fit there. Kind of like, I think a lot of it was of assistant coaches. I mean, Matt Wells had it going really good there. He went down to Texas Tech, you know, came back, kind of, you know, went to Oregon State. Remember, he left Wisconsin to take the Oregon State job. Everyone was scratching their head and wondering why, because he wanted to get back to the West Coast. I mean, since he left Utah State, Gary's career has not blossomed to the level that everybody thought it would.
Think about that. Wisconsin, that was a big get for him, Wisconsin. It was odd when he went to Oregon State because there was some oddness going on there at Wisconsin. Then he returned to Utah State and it's fallen apart. That's weird. That's a weird trajectory and to go that way.
He left Utah State. I mean, he left Oregon State and left the money on the table. He felt so badly about what they owed him for the future years and how bankrupt the school was. He left money on the table and he went back to Utah State. I mean, honorable guy.
He's dramatic, like Vinny. Vinny, you now. I'm going to blame you for this one because you wanted to ask Michael about Detroit and Chicago here. Where are you sitting with your number? No, Mitchell Trubisky, Daryl Bevel, the experience. He said he's jacked to coach the Lions. He has no chance to be the head coach, but we shall see. Where's the number?
Nagy calling out his entire staff. Oh, and then in the last five seconds himself.
Hold on, I want to ask Michael about that. Michael, when Nagy came out, including called out the defense, he sounded so inauthentic when he was trying to be tough. It was odd.
Hey, can I ask both of you astute football men, how many rushing touchdowns do the Chicago Bears have this year?
Vinny?
Zero.
Two. One by
May
Nick
as well
Foles.
Be zero.
One by Nick Foles. It could be zero. I mean, they have one by Nick Foles and one by the Montgomery, the other back. I mean, and this guy, Matt Nagy, screaming about his staff. I mean, he put the staff together. He has nobody to blame but himself. I mean, like, seriously, you hired these guys. You fired your line coach to hire Juan Castile. You know, I can like to show you some of the texts I got after that. You know, it's like, come on. You know, don't tell me you had 8 rushing touchdowns last year. You're down to 2. See if you can get that up to 8, Matt. Look, you know our man Will Hill. He can't help himself. He's going to move to the Motor City before it's all over with. He's all over the Lions on this one.
Well,
he's all over the Lions on this one.
Everybody is.
He can't wait to. Everybody wants to bet the Lions. I mean, they think Bevel's going to open up. Now, if Golladay plays and Swift plays against this Bears team, which I think has quit on Nagy, I could see it. I have it. The line for me was 3.43 in this game.
Yeah. If you get a new coach bump that first game, Vinny.
Well, we've seen it so far this year, right? And we're seeing it in this game. So 5 on the opener, with then the adjustment to 4 with money and the coaching change. We anticipated that a little bit. And now down to 3. So between the coaching change in Detroit and the coaching remarks in Chicago. And let's remember, by the way, the Lions, they blew a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter of the first meeting in Detroit, and the Bears wound up winning that game. So, but this is right now. It's been all Lions money this week.
Wait, I don't remember that. You mean the first game of the year where the Lions were up 18 headed into the fourth and the Bears with Mitch Trubisky, Michael, came back and beat my Matt Patricia-led Lions? I don't remember that.
It was brilliant by MVP Mitch, just dishing things left and right, moving the ball down the field, playing point guard like MVP Mitch could, but Swift dropped the ball in the end zone. Remember that play, Patrick?
Yes.
That was a touchdown game winner.
I remember it all. I don't understand. So, Nagy, okay, how do you – that defensive
don't
unit.
Don't ask me.
How do you call out the defense? You understand what that side of the locker room is saying right now? It's like, dude, this offense is soft as Charmin. Your play calling is disastrous. You got 2 rushing touchdowns. You're calling out one of the best units in football?
I mean, look, I think his tenure in Chicago, I think, as Vinny probably said, is going to be over with. I think this is going to be the end of this. I think we're watching 2 coaches who probably won't be on with their teams next year. Now, maybe Daryl Bevel can revive the Lions. The Lions are not hiring an outside counsel to help them solicit a coach. So maybe they'll want to go in-house and take the path of least resistance. But I can't see how Chicago can bring Nagy back. I don't see, because, look, here's the fundamental problem that most of these when the guy is in charge of the offense and he's your head coach, that's what you hired him for, and the offense stinks, how do you bring him back? It's the problem in Philadelphia. I mean, it's the real problem in Philly. Everybody says, bring Peterson back because he won a Super Bowl. The offense hasn't been good in 3 years since the Super Bowl. So if he's in charge of the offense, unless you do something, which they did last year, they changed the staff. Unless you do something dramatic, how do you do that?
The Bears offense is so bad. The defense is on the field the entire time. Look at, let's face it, outside of the last
32
two games,
minutes.
Outside of the last
32
two games,
minutes, you heard it.
The Seattle Seahawks
32-30.
Don't have the defense on paper that the Bears have, although they've played better defensively the last couple of weeks, but they score points and their offense can stay on the field and give their defense a break. That's the difference here. Plus the fact now you've got a coach who clearly has lost the locker room. So I think you're seeing that reason for the money coming in also on the Lions.
Vinny, can I make a plea for Michael? And this is for the Ford family. The NFL is going to offer up a search firm to help you find your next general manager. Do me a favor. He's M. Lombardi NFL on Twitter. It's easy. DM him. Call him. You have his number. He's willing to help. And I hope I'm not speaking out of turn, but we need somebody that knows what's happening here because the NFL is going to say, here's a search firm, and they're going to go through the same process. You know how it is, Michael.
Well, remember this, in the National Football League, we as bettors, right? This always comes back to betting. And this is where we have to understand it. The NFL's positions are elected, not selected. Bill Walsh said this to me in 1984, the best guys don't get the jobs. The ones who can become elected get the job. You can already see the campaign. Robert Salai's bought spots in all of Michigan. He's got, he's going to control the morning news. You could just feel this momentum coming, and it's going to be, they're going to run the San Francisco defense and he's going to bring San Francisco. Okay, we'll see how that works out.
He's from Dearborn, Michigan, Robert Salah, the defensive coordinator. Anyway.
Perfect. That's why I would want to hire him. Absolutely. That's the most important qualification to hiring someone. I think that's the number one thing. I think if you read Harvard's Business Review, that's what they tell you. Find a local.
Find a local. Mr. Vegas here. That's hilarious. Mr. Vegas here wanted to ask you about Vegas at the Jets. Go ahead and set them up on the number there, Vinny.
Yeah, with the Raiders as 8-point favorites, especially after last week. No movement on this game. I have to believe, Michael, that there's a better effort out of the Raiders this week, especially by their own admission, a lack of focus and a lack of preparation, which, speaking of coaching staff, I put that right on the coaching staff for what happened last week in Atlanta.
It really inexcusable. It's disappointing that it happened. I had this line at 7.43 when it opened. It was 7.5, and now it creeped up to 8. So for me, this is one of those I'm too close to the line to really mess with it. But I mean, I agree. I would like to take the Raiders here and think they can beat the Jets by more than a touchdown. But when you watch the Jets, depending on who they started, these receivers for the Jets, Perryman and Mims, have really started to play well with Crowder. Now Darnold can't wait to turn the ball over. He's excited to give you an opportunity to have the football. But that 20-3 loss to Miami was a lot closer than you think. There was many opportunities to win that game and at least cover that the Jets just fumbled away.
Agreed. The best Dolphins defensive aspect last week was when the Jets had the was the Jets offense.
Yeah, exactly. Gentlemen, don't be sad that it's over. Let's just be happy that it happened, and let's do it again tomorrow, Michael Lombardi. M. Lombardi. Hey,
thank
Ford
you,
family, get a hold of him. His name's Michael Lombardi.
Local. He's local.
Hey, he's
we
from
need a local.
We need a guy from Rochester, Michigan, to coach the Lions. He's local. Okay, Michael. Have a nice day, Vinny Maliulo, VSiN. Vinny, thanks, Steph. Have a good day. It's the Lombardi Line right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.